ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Like A.T. Robertson said, now that they realize that Jesus is going, the thoughts of the disciples turn on themselves and they cease asking the question of Peter. Yeah, where are you going, Lord? No. What are we going to do? What's going to happen to us? So many questions, overwhelmed, sorrow filled their hearts. And I said this before when Pastor Chuck went home to be with the Lord. People made some really these weird questions. What are we going to do now? Did God die? What do you mean, what are we going to do? Pastor Chuck was a servant of God, just like we're a servant of God, and he went home to be with the Lord. And we're going to continue on in the work of the Lord because he's still here. You see how easy it is to get so focused that you lose sight of the bigger picture? And they did. Yeah, Jesus is Almighty God. He was going back home to the Father, but something's going to happen. You see, he wasn't going to leave them alone. He wasn't going to leave them orphans. In fact, in John 14, verses 16 through 18, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He's going to do the same thing here. These chapters, yes, they're filled with speaking about that agape love. They're spoken lots of persecution against us, but also the helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to come and help us in the work that God wants us to do. Look at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Again, their hearts were heavy because of what they were hearing. They were overwhelmed. They were losing hope. And Jesus says, hey, nevertheless, in spite of all that's coming, guess what? There is a blessing that's coming out of this. If I don't go away, though, you're going to miss out on that. God the Father and Jesus will be sending the Holy Spirit to them. But if he doesn't go away, it's not going to happen. Now, here's a question. If Jesus is going away and he needs to go away to send us the Holy Spirit, what's the point, right? I mean, think about it. If the Holy Spirit is God, and he is, and he's going to do what Jesus does, why does he need to come? Why did Jesus have to leave? Why couldn't he just stay? Why does he need to send the helper to take his place? And those are important questions. Here's the thing. When God became flesh and dwelt among us, God inhabited a body of flesh, right? Fully God, fully man in the incarnation. And he was limited to be in one place at one time. We don't think about that, but that's really in the incarnation, Jesus was limited. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, Paul talks about it, that God emptied himself of some of these things. He said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now we may miss the whole point of that, but the Amplified Bible, I think, explains it really clearly to us. It says of these verses in Philippians, let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave. In that he became like men and was born a human being. And afterward he had appeared in human form. He abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Here's the thing. In the incarnation, Jesus did not cease to be God. He was fully God. But he let go of some of those godly attributes in the incarnation. You read in the scriptures, and you will often see Jesus spending time praying. I think many times it was in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where he goes on the night before he's crucified. Praying to the Father. Why? He spent all night praying for direction on who the apostles would be, right? He sought direction from the Father. Could he have used his godly attributes to pick these men? Absolutely. There are times we see that Jesus used his godly attributes. He knew their hearts. Only God can know our hearts. But for the most part, he laid those things down and took on the physical limitations of a body. He was hungry, tired. He was an omnipresent in the incarnation. But when the Holy Spirit was sent, he not only went throughout the world drawing people to Christ, which we'll talk about in future studies, but since the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, he also indwells every believer. What's my point? My point is simple. With the Holy Spirit indwelling every believer, you know what? The work of God continues on in every part of the world all the time. When Jesus was here, where was it limited to? Where he was at. But now the Holy Spirit's come, and look at how he's working through believers all over the world, and the Holy Spirit himself is drawing people to Jesus. In John 14:12, interesting verse. Most assuredly I say to you, Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. What? What do you mean we're going to do greater works than? I mean, he raised the dead, right? We're going to do greater works than Jesus? And people stumble at that. He's not speaking about magnitude. Because I don't know what's greater than raising the dead or saving someone. Only God can save. I think it's greater in scope, like I said. Because the Holy Spirit is indwelling every believer throughout the world. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let me share this with you. In chapter 2, verse 6, and now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Who's restraining evil in the world today? It's the Holy Spirit. How? With working through believers. So the Antichrist is not going to be revealed until when? Until the Holy Spirit is removed. Well, wait a minute, I thought the Holy Spirit is always with us. Oh yeah, thus we must move too. You see the key there? The Holy Spirit is restraining evil through working through Christians in the world today. In fact, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Empowering believers to do what? To bring the gospel message to people throughout this world, greater in scope. And Jesus wanted to let them know that this was to their advantage. Again, from the Amplified Bible, John 16:7. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Yeah, he's going to indwell us. This is a problem today. Most Christians deny the reality of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? I mean, it was shocking to me. I didn't realize this was a big issue, and it is. And thus, maybe that's why so many are struggling to try and live out their Christian faith by the power that they have instead of surrendering to the power of God by His Spirit. This is from a 2021 article that's titled, Most Adult U.S. Christians Don't Believe the Holy Spirit is Real. Again, it's shocking to me. This is what he wrote. Of an estimated 176 million American adults who identify as Christians, just 6% or 15 million of them actually hold a biblical worldview. What's a biblical worldview? It's a view from what the scriptures tell us, how we're to live out our faith, what to believe in. Only 6% of Christians believe in a biblical worldview. That's shocking. Now you know why what we see going on in the world today. There was a study done from Arizona Christian University, And they say, while a majority of Americans, self-identified Christians, including many who identify as evangelical, believe that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and is the creator of the universe, more than half reject a number of biblical teachings and principles, including the existence of the Holy Spirit. Some 62% of self-identified born-again Christians contend that the Holy Spirit is not a real, living being, but is merely a symbol of God's power, presence, or purity. Think about that, 62% of born-again Christians, right? We're not talking about people that just call themselves Christians. These are people that say believe they're born again, do not believe that the Holy Spirit is real. Another 61% say that all religious faiths are of equal value. Well, now you know why. 60% believe that if a person is good enough or does enough good things, they can earn their way to heaven. Now you understand. The only way you can do that is because you're denying what the scriptures say, and you're denying the power of God in your life. Without a doubt, as you look at the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's God. In fact, you can read, I think it's in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, where Peter said, you know, is talking about the Holy Spirit, that you lied to God. He didn't say to a power or a force. I mean, that when I hear people say that the Holy Spirit is a force, I think of Star Wars, right? So is that what we're equating the scriptures to, some kind of mythical storyline? No, the Holy Spirit is real, and we need him in our lives. What, Jesus was going to just send some kind of power to us? No. In fact, remember when Zerubbabel was told in Zechariah 4:6 from the Lord, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Why did he need to know that? Because Zerubbabel, being the civic leader in Jerusalem, was to help finish the rebuilding of the temple. But there was a problem. The work stalled. He needed encouragement to carry on the work and needed others to join in. And the temple was a mess. I mean, think about it. You work all day and it doesn't look like you touched anything. It's kind of like my basement, you know? I go, man, it doesn't look, or like the church garage after winter where things just get stored in there. I'm like, how did this stuff get in here? And I'm working all day. I'm like, it's still a mess. And that was Zerubbabel. But God wants to encourage his people. Yeah, the work is overwhelming. And you don't have the power. You don't have the strength to do it. But I'm going to help you. You see? You know, prior to this, Zechariah was given a vision of oil and lamps. And in the scripture, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Lamps, our lives, God filling us with the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Back in Zechariah 3, the high priest, his name was Joshua, is clothed in filthy garments. And the Lord clothed him with rich robes, white robes. There's a picture of salvation. The filth of sin's been removed by the Lord. He gave us new clothes, and we're seen as white as snow, the shed blood of Christ applied to our lives. And now that we're saved, as we go from Zechariah 3 to Zechariah chapter 4, here's the empowerment for service. And you know what? The temple was completed in 4 years from this period of time. Wow. How was it done? Not by their might, not by their power, but by the Spirit of God working in them and through them to accomplish the task. If we try to accomplish the work of God in our strength, out of our own resources, it gets frustrating and discouraging, overwhelming. We need to allow God's Spirit to work in us and then through us. But so many today just try to accomplish it on their own. They don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you the number of emails I get. And it's a little less than before, probably because I don't reply to them. But how to grow your church. You know, you want your church to grow, you got to do this, you got to do that. You know, programs, mailings, and on and on. And you know what? Not one of them, not one of those letters or emails ever say you need to surrender to the Holy Spirit and wait upon God to lead you in the things you need to do. We've taken out the power. Why? Because we reject the Holy Spirit, that he's real. And he wants to give us the power to accomplish the work he has for us to do. But if you try it on your own, you're going to fail. And this is what Jesus is instructing his men, that the helper, the comforter, he's going to send them. What? Why? To empower them to do the work of ministry because the Holy Spirit is real. He's not some force or power. He's God. And I believe the effectiveness, the fruitfulness, and the overall dynamic and victory that characterizes your life as a Christian is related to us our understanding of the Holy Spirit and how much we surrender to Him. We could fight Him all we want, but we're not going to succeed. And I think we need to understand that. Jesus didn't leave His men alone, and He doesn't leave us alone. He's always with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And, you know, think about all the religions of the world, and there's a lot of them. And they all tell you what to do, right? This is what you do, this is what you don't do. And they're not all evil or bad. A lot of things that they tell us to do are good. There's nothing wrong with them. What's missing? The power to do it. I mean, there are times when I don't want to run. My wife is going, I never want to run. It is a crazy thing, that's just me. I force myself to run. But you know what's even better? Surrendering. And that's what we're to do. God sent His Spirit to give us the power we need to live out the lives He wants us to live. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, the men were discouraged. They went fishing, right? They lost hope. You know, Peter, I denied the Lord 3 times. How is He ever going to use me? I failed. I'm out. I'm done. And then what happened? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them and empowered them for service. And what happened to Peter? The one who couldn't even deny to a little slave girl that he knew Jesus. What happened? Peter gave a powerful message. The one who couldn't even acknowledge the Lord before is now speaking in front of all these people about Jesus. Now let me ask you this. Prior to Pentecost, did the disciples have the tools to carry on the work? Yeah, Jesus, 3.5 years. And now here at the end, He's instructing them even more. Why didn't they start the work right away? What were they lacking? Because they had all this information. Why didn't they just go out and do the work that they were called to do? Because they lacked the power to run the tools that they had. Think about an electric drill. They're awesome. I love them. Because I don't have to look for a power outlet. I don't have to look for an extension cord. I just take it, put the battery in, and use it, right? It's awesome. But if I got that same power drill, and I want to screw a screw into the wall, and I don't have a battery pack attached to it, what's going to happen? Well, I guess I could twirl the drill like this, but it's going to be pretty frustrating. I need the power, the battery, to run the drill. That's exactly what the disciples needed. They needed the power. And we need the power to live out our faith. And again, it just grieves me that so many Christians deny the existence of the Holy Spirit. And it tells me they don't know the Scriptures. They don't know the Word of God. They're not being taught the Word of God. And if you want to defeat an enemy, what do? You take out the power source. And that's what Satan has done. He's taken out the power source. But I'll tell you what, when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's amazing the things that can be done. The biggest example for me, one of the biggest examples, and I can give you more, but is this little church and the things it's able to do. Believe me, it's not because of me. All of you are saying amen. We know that. And it's true. It's not because of me. How do we, you know, we have, 40, 50 people, whatever, in this church. How do we have a radio station? December 31st, it'll be on the air for 15 years. Now it's on the internet as well. All over the world. Did you look at the missions board, at the number of missionaries that we support? How do we do that? It's because of God. As soon as we start taking credit, you know, it's because I'm such a wonderful guy, look out, okay? Man, if you ever say that, don't stand close to me, okay? I don't want to be involved in that mess. It's because of God. I'm humbled by it because there is no way I should be on staff full time. No way. And yet God has enabled me. I'll give you this story. It was a town somewhere in the U.S. that was battered one night by hurricane force winds. And the next morning after the storm was gone, the citizens emerged from their homes and shelters, and they were looking at the damage. And you can imagine, You know, hurricane force winds, what it can do. And the power of the storm quickly became clear to one investigator, and he was dumbfounded by this discovery. As people looked at this, mouths were opened. They didn't know what to say. A common plastic drinking straw was driven deep into a telephone pole by the night's vicious winds. A plastic straw driven through into a telephone pole. It's a flimsy straw. You try banging it on that telephone pole, it's just going to crumble, break, right? But that power, that tremendous power of those winds drove that straw into the wood like a spike. Here we are as unbelievers in an ungodly world. Few in number, right? How can we, as Christians, make a difference? We are so outnumbered, so they have more resources, more wealth, more everything than we do, right? How can we penetrate effectively this culture that is so cynical and so depraved with the good news that God has given us to proclaim? It all lies in the source of power. There's the key. If we rely on our own strength and our own methods, then yeah, we cannot make much of a difference, not at all. But if we choose to be driven by God's limitless power, we can become like that straw in the hurricane, and nothing can stop us. We can make a difference, but are we willing to surrender? Remember when Peter was in prison? Peter was in prison, and the angel came and opened the door. And Peter thought he was dreaming. He didn't believe it was real. He's like, he's just having a dream. The angel had to actually help him get up and get out. And he goes to where the people are, Christians are, and he knocks on the door, right? Now, keep in mind, they're praying for the release of Peter, right? And I can't remember the girl's name that got up to answer the door. Hey, open the door. It's me, Peter. What? She goes and tells the guys, the spiritual people, praying for the release of Peter. Peter's out at the door. She left him out there. Peter is out at the door. No, he's not. What are you what have you been putting in your coffee or whatever? I don't know. They go and check, and there's Peter. Do you think that encouraged them? It absolutely did. The power of God. They were praying, and they didn't even believe what they were praying would happen. Oh, Lord, help me in my unbelief, right? And again, it's easy to look at this world and be discouraged and to lose hope when all this immorality and wickedness is growing at alarming rates. But as Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't be caught off by these things. Because Jesus warned us of what's coming. And he said, these things I've spoken to you, you should not stumble. Don't be caught off guard. You shouldn't be made that way. Embrace the days we're living in. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, it's amazing what God can do in us and through us. It's always, you know, as we go through something, we're troubled as we go through. As we get through it, we look back, we go, oh man, look at the hand of God. Well, the hand of God was there all the time, okay, working. May we always be looking, trusting, resting in him. In fact, what was said of Paul and his companions, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Isn't it be a great thing? Well, not turn the world upside down. We're turning it right side up because the world is upside down right now. But how can we do that? Just like the early church did. Within 30 years, the gospel message was spread to the whole known world. Within 30 years, guess what? They didn't have radio or television. They didn't have the internet. I know some of you are going, oh my gosh, how archaic. Yeah, it was. But they got the gospel message to the whole known world, not by their might, nor by their power, but by the Spirit of God. I don't care what happens in this world, God is not dead. And he's going to work in us and through us no matter how dark it may get. And let's use the days we have right now, the freedoms we have right now, to bring the gospel to people. Because as it gets tougher, we need to be aware and be prepared so we're not caught off guard. It's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, guys. May we be encouraged. May we trust in the Lord, and may we walk by faith. Father, we thank you for being our God. And we thank you that you have sent the Holy Spirit, not only to indwell us, Lord, but to empower us to live the lives you want us to live, to give us the ability to do things we can never do on our own. And the results, Lord, are not because of us, not how charismatic we may be, but it's because how your Spirit is working. May we never forget that. It's never about the instrument. It's always about you, Lord. And we want to honor you and thank you for all you've done in our lives and will do in our lives. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.